Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And I want to thank you for listening today. And I want to take just a moment to tell you about Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. This is sponsored as a ministry of Mount Lebanon. And if you are in the area and you do not have a church home, we'd love for you to come and visit with us. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just off of Highway 105 South. You're going to be about 3 miles outside of the Boone city limits on 105 South going towards Fosco. And Baird's Creek Road is on the right. We are 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. And that is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. It has all of our contact information, address, all of those things you'd need if you type it into a GPS or something like that. But we appreciate you listening in today, and we'd love for you to come be with us in any or all of our services. And today we're going to continue on. We've started a little series on the subject of signs of the times. But before we get into that, I want to say good morning to Noah. This is the first time in a long time we've actually ridden together to the radio station. So how are you, Noah?
I'm good. Normally we have to meet up here.
Yes, yeah. I'm
We do want to say welcome to our listeners this morning. We appreciate our listeners here. We want to say welcome to those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in on KGBT 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and once again, it's good to be here today. And last week, we dealt with the subject of America in the Scriptures, and that's sort of our starting point. We do deal week by week with the Bible, America, our Christian heritage, things along those lines. So a lot of people ask, do we find America in the Scriptures? Is America in the Bible? And we dealt with that last week. I'm not going to review everything that we talked about then, but there's a lot of people that do see America in the Bible. And much of the scripture that's used to point out America in the Bible is out of the way. I guess I'll put it like that. But if we're going to find America in the Bible, if we're going to look for anything, we ought to first of all look for the obvious before the hidden things in the Scriptures. And last week we pointed out Revelation chapter 3 verses 7 through 13 and the church at Philadelphia. Now there's a big hint, because Philadelphia in the Bible, it means brotherly love. And of course the first capital of America was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which that word Philadelphia means, again, brotherly love, and that's known as the city of brotherly love. Well, some may disagree with that today, but I guess once upon a time that characterized the city. And Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was the original capital, and also it's the place where the Declaration of Independence was signed. It is the place where the Constitution was signed. It is a place where the Liberty Bell is. We have our verse we use every week when we come on the air, Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, where it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof," is inscribed up on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, I mentioned something about the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2, and chapter number 3. These seven churches give us an outline of church history, sort of a pre-outline. Things to look for if you were living then, in the days to come. And as we look back, we see a very obvious outline of what has gone on in church history, all the way from the days of the apostles up until the rapture of the church, or the second coming of Christ and the beginning of the tribulation. You find a little outline there. Most students that study the Bible, and most commentaries, Bible-believing commentaries, and I stress that, Bible-believing, because you find all kinds of things out here, teachings out here, and a lot of people comment and teach upon the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible. So we're talking about Bible believers, and Bible students can easily identify the connection between the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 and church history. Just a few examples I thought of. Miller's Church History, that's a resource we use, and actually when I was in Bible college myself, that was our history book. And Miller's Church History, it begins, I'm talking about the book, begins, he uses Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 and uses those seven churches as an outline for the whole book, teaching upon church history, and it goes through, I believe, the year 1860. This is an old book we're talking about. Miller's the author of that book, of course, he's been dead a long time, but he carried his church history up through 1860. And then there's another book, a prophetical book. It's called Dispensational Truth by Clarence Larkin, and it's copyrighted in 1918. And Mr. Larkin, back in 1918, actually, of course, we realize the years leading up to that, he used that as an outline for church history, the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And then many people have a Scofield Bible, a Bible that has notes by the Bible teacher C.I. Scofield. And Scofield, in his notes in the Bible, he gave a little outline as well. Just a couple of things I could point out. In a Scofield Bible, he gives Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. He said, "The message to Ephesus, the church at the end of the apostolic age." And then the second church he mentions, number 2, pardon me, this is chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. He said, "The message to Smyrna, period of the great persecutions, to AD 316, and there were 10 great persecutions early on in the church. That's what Smyrna was, a persecuted church. And then next there's Pergamos, and he said the church under imperial favor settled in the world. And what we find there is the marriage, the unholy marriage of church and state, brought about by the Roman Emperor Constantine. Now, that was not all the churches, but many of the churches at that time began to be intertwined and intermarried with Rome, the Roman Empire. And then there's the fourth church at Thyatira, and he gives AD 500 to 1500. That covers the Dark Ages. And then in chapter 3, there's the church at Sardis, the period of the Reformation, a believing remnant, he says. And then number 6, Philadelphia, the one we want to get to, the true church in the professing church, and then the Laodicea, and that's the last church, and he says the final state of apostasy. So you have there a little outline of church history. Now I want to begin reading in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Now, the Philadelphian church age, or the period that covers that church at Philadelphia. Most Bible teachers put the time frame beginning the early 16 or the early 1700s up through, Clarence Larkin puts 1910. Well, he finished his book and copyrighted it by 1918, so that's all the time that he had. But this Philadelphian church age, if we think about it having its beginning or coming about at the beginning of the early 1700s, think with me just a few minutes today. What was going on at that time in the world? Well, historically speaking, we see America. Not the discovery of America, but the beginning of America being heavily populated. We see that the Pilgrims came in 1620. They came seeking religious freedom. They came to get away from being persecuted, and they came also to spread the gospel. The Mayflower Compact, in the beginning, it talks about in ye name of God, and it talks about to spread the gospel. And so they came with a desire not just to get away from being persecuted, but to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the early 1600s, we have literally the beginnings of America. We have the beginning of liberty. They came seeking liberty. These things are important when we're talking about signs of the times. We have a nation that for the first time in the history of the world is going to be based upon total, complete religious freedom. We have the beginnings of America. We also, at that same time, we have the printing of the King James Bible, 1611. The King James Bible is unparalleled. It is unequaled if you compare it to the other versions of the Bible, or I would say so-called versions, but it's unparalleled. It's been printed more than any other Bible in the whole wide world. It is the most read Bible in the whole wide world. It has the greatest history. 400 years, 1611 to 2011 was the 400-year anniversary. No other version can compare. It's been the most printed. It's been the number one bestseller. And what you don't hear about many times is how, not just among, if you say number one, that's not considering all of the Bibles that have been printed and given away for free that are King James scriptures. We got a missionary letter just this past week, and one of our missionaries, one of the things that they do, this ministry, they print and give away Bibles or portions, John and Romans, for example. And they were talking about getting paper, running their printing presses full-time, and having tractor, trailer loads of scriptures, John and Romans, being translated from a King James Bible into another language. I mean, it is unparalleled what God has done with the King James Bible during the Philadelphian time period. So you have America, you have the King James Bible. Spiritually speaking, now the Lord used this King James Bible, the Philadelphian time period, 1600s up to the early 1900s, greatest time of revival ever in the history of the church during this Philadelphian time period. We have great revival. We have great missions movements going on in America and in England. A revival of missions and missionaries going out into all the world from the shores of America. We have a revival during this same time period of premillennial doctrine. Now, what I mean by that, premillennial doctrine, is the preaching and teaching of the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he could come at any time. Now, some people say, well, this is a latter days doctrine, but it is not a latter days. It is what the Apostle Paul believed. If you read the letter to the Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he believed, he taught that the Lord could come at any time, and I think it's 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, they were disturbed about the day of the Lord. And he said, this day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And he that says that he's God, he's talking about the Antichrist, sets in the temple as he is God. Well, when Paul wrote that, the temple at Jerusalem was still standing. And so these early Christians, they were looking for the Lord to come, and their hope was tied in with the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this is very important, this preaching of premillennial doctrine. Well, we have a revival in the latter days, and we'll get to this a little bit more next week, but there's a revival in the latter days of an interest in the second coming of Christ, and we have that, and it is unparalleled since the days of Paul. Now, another thing that happened during this Philadelphian time period is the nation of Israel. What we have with the nation of Israel, we have, first of all, during this time period, we have a revived interest in prophecy. This revived interest in prophecy led to a revived interest in Israel, because when all these churches, as a result of these revivals, as a result of these missionary movements and this studying of prophecy, God's people become very interested in the nation of Israel. This interest in the nation of Israel leads to the beginnings of modern-day Zionism. Modern-day Zionism is the movement to restore the Jewish people to their homeland, their native homeland. And so we see in the late 1800s, early 1900s, this great movement for the Jews, the Jewish people, to be back in the land, the Jews in their homeland. Now, here's something I want to share with you. We're talking about signs of the times. People say this all the time. Oh, the Bible's happening all around us everywhere. What do they mean by that? Can we give specific examples of signs of the times? Now, let me show you something that I've never seen until this past week. And when I saw it, I was just amazed. I've never seen it. I've never heard anybody else. And I'm not saying I'm the first one, but I've just never heard anybody make this connection before. But the church at Philadelphia in Revelation chapter number 3 has a unique tie to the nation of Israel that the others do not have. The other six do not have. Now let me read it for you. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Now, I've preached on this before. God opened a door to the church at Philadelphia to get missions out, churches to start, revivals that spread through many nations in the world. But there's this unique relationship that this church has to the nation of Israel. It said, he that hath the key of David. That is not mentioned like that to any of these other churches. They do not have this Jewish connection. For example, this was the introduction. And to the first church at Ephesus, he said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. So that's how he identifies himself. That is not a Jewish connection. He that hath the seven stars in his right hand. But now this church, there's a obvious connection to the Jewish people. That's very interesting to me. Now, not just a name, he that hath the name David, but it says, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth. So this church at Philadelphia, they have a key as well. A key makes a way, opens a door. And then down in verse 11 and down in verse number 12, there's another connection to the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Verse 11, the Bible said, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. There's a reference to the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Well, what is the name of that city? The city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Now, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army of Titus in A.D. 70. That was during the Apostolic Age. That was just a very few short years after Paul was martyred. The temple was still standing when Paul was martyred. Paul had written that the Antichrist would sit in the temple as God. And so believers were looking for the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But within just a few years after Paul being martyred, the temple was destroyed. There was a time period for 1,800 years where God's people were not as interested in prophecy, and part of it being the temple had been destroyed. As a result of the temple and the city being destroyed, the Jewish people were dispersed throughout all the world. I mean, they were scattered among all the nations of the world. But in these last days, you talk about signs of the times. Do you know what we have seen in our lifetime? Not me myself, but my parents and my grandparents' generation. They saw God bring the children of Israel back to their land. And so Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7, I was studying about this where it says, "He that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." This is a reference to Isaiah chapter number 22. Now I'm going to go over there and read just a few verses out of Isaiah chapter number 22, because that's a reference to Isaiah chapter number 22. Now, in Isaiah chapter number 22, Isaiah is prophesying concerning Jerusalem. Here's what he says is going to happen to Jerusalem. In verse number 18, he said, "He will surely," talking about the Lord, "he will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into the large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house." God said about the nation of Israel, "I'm going to turn thee and toss thee violently. I'm going to throw thee like a ball," is what the Bible says. Verse 19, the Bible says, "And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down." That happened exactly when Jerusalem was destroyed. Verse 20, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah." Now, Eliakim, his name means this, "the God of raising." And what we find Isaiah prophesied, he said, God is going to tear you down, but he's going to build you back up. He's going to throw you violently into the great country. You're going to be dispersed. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be chased, but I'm going to raise up this Eliakim, this God of raising. How interesting that is. Now, verse number 21, this Eliakim, this God of raising, verse 21, "And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David." Now that's that direct reference to Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. "And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open." It is no accident that is used in the introduction to the church at Philadelphia. This church of the last days, this church of revival, this church of missions, is also a church that has a direct connection to the nation of Israel that none of the other churches are mentioned as having. Now, there is no way to understand the signs of the times. People talk about this all the time, and I'm going to refer back and back to it. Oh, we see the Bible being fulfilled before our very eyes every day, and we do. But how do we do that? What specifically can we point at and say this is what we're talking about? because your person that doesn't know or maybe doesn't even believe or says, I don't believe all that, that doesn't mean anything to them to say the statement, the Bible is being fulfilled before our eyes every day, or to say, look at the signs of the times. We need to be specific. What are we talking about? There's no way to discern and understand the signs of the times without understanding the importance of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. That is without a doubt the greatest sign that we could point to and say, look, you want proof from the Bible? Look at the nation of Israel. Look at their history. Look how they were driven among the nations. They've been scattered. Hitler tried to kill and destroy all of the Jewish people. And do you know what? He wasn't the first one that had tried to do that. Nations have driven them from their shores. I mean, we could give a long, long history. That is the history of the Jewish people. One, of being scattered and dispersed and persecuted for 18 centuries. And then, and this is a miracle that the Jewish people even survived. But not only had they survived, they come back together as a people, as a nation, and they are planted in the land that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, I'll give thee this land. And after 18 centuries, they're back in the land. They are prospering today. They're without a doubt the greatest nation in the Middle East by far. Well, by far. This was prophesied in the Word of God that the Jewish people would be dispersed, but that God in the last days would bring them back together and put them in their homeland. One example, time is quickly come and gone today. Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, talking about the nation of Israel. The Lord said, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So that's talking about the nation of Israel. Hosea prophesied, after 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. Well, what does that mean? If you know what the Bible says about days, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So what Hosea was saying, he was saying that after 2 days, after 2,000 years, he will revive us. He will bring us back to life, and in the third day we shall live in his sight. If you know anything about Bible prophecy, the Bible prophesies a millennial kingdom, 1,000 years. That's what that is talking about. So a specific sign of the time, one is without a doubt, and I believe the greatest one, the nation of Israel. I was reading this morning in my Bible, in the book of John. And I'd never noticed this before, but in the upper room, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there his sweat became as it was great drops of blood. And there the next day, he died upon the cross for our sins. But he told those disciples in the upper room in John 13, verse 19, it says, now I tell you before it come, that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. And then he goes on and he talks about some other things in chapter number 14, verse number 29. Now they're still in the upper room together. They've not left yet. And he said again in chapter 14, verse 29, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, ye might believe. What is the purpose of prophecy being fulfilled? That ye might believe. Oh, that people could see specifically the signs of the times and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, I really appreciate you listening in today. I hope you get a blessing out of it. We're going to let Noah give the contact information, and we thank you once again for taking time to be with us today.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.
President Obama told the UN today the U.S. understands its limited influence in the internal struggle.